Liked this church billboard poster from the USA, which perhaps you can see there.
Get that? And I'm so glad it doesn't have my name on it. But I think basically when we're talking in this session about Eat to Bless, what we are essentially talking about is hospitality and in its wider remit, not just about eating, but of course eating is a very important part often of hospitality. So I thought it appropriate to begin this session with a song from my childhood. You may join in if you wish. I may get the wrong key because it's a long time since I sung it, but here goes. Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he. He climbed up to the sycamore tree for the Saviour he wanted to see. For the Saviour he wanted to see. And when that Saviour passed that way, he looked into that tree and said, "Now, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm coming to your house for tea. Yes, I'm coming to your house for tea." I used to imagine, as I sang that song and heard the story of Zacchaeus, that Jesus went along to Zacchaeus's house and had the kind of Sunday tea that my mum would prepare. We had lunch at 1 o'clock, pretty much on the dot, even though she was the busy wife of a busy Baptist minister. And often we would have people with us, and she would feed us full up, really, with a roast dinner, be it beef or pork or chicken or whatever, every Sunday. And having finished that lunch by about 2 o'clock, and this would happen every Sunday, come 4:30, we would be launching into a high tea of the old kind that my mum would prepare for us, whether or not we had guests there, actually, with sandwiches, with multiple types of cake that she had baked. You can ask Wendy whether this is now the sort of tea that we enjoy. But I've stayed slim. So, good times, good times. This was the sort of tea I imagined Zacchaeus preparing for Jesus as he took him back to his home. Now, I don't know what Zacchaeus was expecting as he climbed into that tree. Clearly, he wanted to at least see Jesus, didn't he? He can hardly have imagined, though, that this man Jesus, whom he has never met, but who sometimes knows him already, should say that he is coming to his house right now. Surely it is for Zacchaeus to do the asking, not Jesus, if Zacchaeus is to be the host. It's his home. Isn't it a bit presumptuous of Jesus to say that he is coming to stay at Zacchaeus' house? Thought back over hospitality that Wendy and I have given over the years. Usually, we plan ahead. You know, the invitation will go out a week or more in advance, perhaps. We've occasionally invited someone back on the spur of the moment. Maybe someone who just turns up in church on Sunday for the first time, and we have enough to spare, so why not invite them? And they have come. I don't think we've ever had someone come that we didn't know from Adam turn up and tell us that they're coming to stay at our house. Have you? No. It's not the done thing, is it, in our Western world? But in the Middle Eastern world of Jesus, it was, and it is to this day, a sacred duty to offer hospitality to anyone who asks. If you have a Bible, some of you may, you might want to turn back a few pages from the story of Zacchaeus in Luke 19, back to Luke chapter 11, and verses 5 following. This comes after Jesus has been teaching the disciples about prayer, and basically he's shared with them what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And then beyond that, in Luke 11, verse 5, Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight, pause there, at midnight, and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, as well my next door neighbours might if I went to them at midnight, don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Essentially, Jesus is teaching here about persisting in prayer until we get what we need. But he illustrates it by asking us to imagine knocking on the door of a neighbour or a friend at midnight and saying, lend me this bread, give me this bread for this friend of mine who has just turned up out of the blue when I have no food to offer. See, to have no food to offer to the unexpected guest in Jesus' time and locale was a disaster in Middle Eastern culture. It was a disaster. Jesus assumes that his disciples would do whatever was needed to get some food for the person who turned up out of the blue. And the only thing to be done at that time of night, if you had run out of food in your own home as well, you might have done, was to wake someone else and hope that they have something that they can pass on. Disturbing the sleep of the neighbours was as nothing compared to the disgrace of having no food to offer. So when Jesus said he was coming to stay at the house of Zacchaeus, without prior warning, it was the sacred duty of Zacchaeus to provide it. I think that hospitality really is still a sacred duty. That might be something for us to think about. How are we going to provide for others when they are in need of food, of shelter, of hospitality? There are several verses in the New Testament that talk about hospitality. For example, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, which says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. I suspect we often find it easier to offer hospitality to people we know, which is kind of what that verse is saying, isn't it? The verse, though, that speaks to me most of all about hospitality is Hebrews 13, verse 2, which will appear now. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Or as this one says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. That is a brilliant piece of decoration in the top of the coffee, isn't it? I want my barista to do that the next time I go in Costa. Or if you want to practice that little angel motif there, that's superb. So we can leave that one up, Jane, I think, as we go for now. But I've asked a couple of people to share about ways in which they are really fulfilling that mandate of eat to bless, by allow others to eat to bless. And that is Sheila and Katie. I think we said we'd start with you, didn't I, Katie and I? So Katie's going to share a bit about some of the ways in which she's involved in feeding people, I guess, really, isn't it? So come and share what you want to share, Katie. Thank you very much.
I'm first because my catering is little, apparently.
It's slightly smaller scale.
I became a lay pastoral care worker in 2008, supporting the work of three rural Methodist chapels in our area, Thornborough, Gawcott and Steeple Claydon. And one of the first things they wanted to start when I was in post was lunch clubs. For two of them, it was really important. They wanted to do it and they were happy to do it with me alongside them. So in Steeple Claydon, it was led by a lady called Gwyneth, who had experience of leading lunch clubs before. So it was just a case of cooking alongside her. And we were doing meals for about, 46 people, which were a mixture of people from the fellowship to give them a chance to meet during the week and get to know each other better, and to reach out into the community and invite people from the village in as well, particularly people on their own, people that were isolated or lonely. Because people talk over the table and it just gives people a chance to share and meet with people and relax, and you might find out more about them. Relationships get deepened. Some people have come into the church from that, so that's been a really positive experience. Gave me a chance to really get to know the members of the chapel who I was working alongside in the kitchens. You know, I've really got to know them through doing this. So that was really good. In Thornborough, slightly different, slightly smaller. They had a kitchen but no cooker. So in their mind's eye, when they first had their kitchen built, the person who wanted to do lunch clubs didn't actually think it would be necessary to have a cooker because she didn't think they'd ever do it. But we set it up and were cooking from her home and my home, and then driving at speed. Well, within the speed limit to get the, to get the food to the chapel to serve it good and hot. I did persuade her that actually, you know, we need to put in a cooker. This is just mad. So we did. Gay, who was the leading light there, had no confidence in cooking. Her daughter had told her for years she was a rubbish cook. So that's what she believed. So I found myself training someone to cook, which is kind of weird because I wouldn't have considered myself to be a caterer, really. Now I think I might be, because I do a lot of it now, but I didn't then really. But together we did it. We'd pray every meal, before the meal, that nobody would be poisoned. that God would keep the folks safe, because she was very nervous. Anything too spicy, she'd say, "Oh, I don't think so, Katie. They won't eat that in Thornborough." So there were quite a few recipes I never got to try, but I've tried them since, because unfortunately Gay died of cancer during lockdown. So now I'm doing that one on my own. But it's had blessings in all sorts of ways. Blessings for the people receiving. It's always amazing that people appear to like my food. And that's lovely to think that people are enjoying. Well, I think it's because it's a fully cooked meal, which quite a lot of the elderly just don't do on their own at home. So that's a real blessing to think people like my food. But it's also been a blessing with working with the teams I've worked with. And things unexpectedly occur sometimes. I had somebody contact me to say, "I've retired, I'm in the village, I want to do something useful. Can I come and wash up for your lunch club?" So this person has come on board as our washer-upper. And we have lots of laughs in the kitchen. I mean, it's a small kitchen anyway, but we have lots of laughs. And I've really got to know him. And then when I launched my Lyrics and Lunch group, which is a singing and lunch group for people with dementia, he said, "I really want to get on board with that." And I've just found people are just so willing to get involved. And I think it's because we've been doing the lunches for like 12 years. And we've just got to know people. And, you know, it doesn't matter that I'm a Christian and doing a Christian charity. These people were happy to get alongside and work with it. And that's been a huge blessing, actually. So, yeah, that's... Do I need to say any more?
I don't know.
I didn't write anything down, so...
Well, I am testimony to fact that, I am testimony to the fact that, you know, Katie's lunches are very good. I haven't been poisoned yet, unless it's a very slow process. So, I think you know, one hears about these things, but no, I mean, it's just a pleasure of the life, you know, the role to which I've been called, that I get to kind of eat lunches at Steeple Claydon and at Thornborough and at Well Street. And, you know, I mean, come December, Christmas lunches are coming out my ears, really. And it's just a, you know, sacrifice for the sake of the kingdom, really. Yeah. Yeah. What was it Robbie Williams sang? Overdose for Christmas, give it up for Lent. That's probably what I need to do. But yeah, I mean, those are really good times. And I don't just go to eat. I do also go to serve the food and enjoy doing that too. So
yeah, that's, sorry, I didn't mention Well Street. Yeah. Sous chef at Well Street.
Indeed, indeed. So,
I've learnt a lot there.
So we have that too. And the reason I started with the smaller is because I don't want us to think that those that are smaller in number are less important. But because sometimes we do buy into the sort of big is beautiful thing, don't we? And big is successful. But small is no less significant. That said, big is good too. And Sheila, you're going to share a bit about community lunch. So. I don't know, maybe beyond that, but that was the thing I was in my mind.
That's in my mind as well.
That's right.
And I don't think that 46 is a small number, to be quite honest. People who are used to cooking at home for 2, 3, or 4 people, 46 is a lot of people. And to be quite honest, the community lunch where we tend to have about 70, it's really exactly the same, only twice as much food and a little bit more time. Anyway, the community lunch, it happens every Tuesday between 12 and 1:30 at Buckingham Parish Church. I thought I'd look at who we're blessing first and then how it all came about. It isn't just the diners who are being blessed. This is something that really came across quite soon after we started, because a lot of the helpers are not church people. They came in because, actually, they knew me, or they knew Kath, Kath McCabe. Some of you will know Kath McCabe, who used to help with it as well. And they came in, and because it was something, a bit like Katie said, they wanted to help the community. So I feel that people are being blessed in this situation are, yes, the diners, who tend to be of the older variety, but we get young mums, young families, we get students in who are being blessed. But those helpers, some of whom are widowed, some who are single, some who are going through difficult times, losing friends, because most of them are of the older variety, and the support from the from each other in the team is tremendous. You know, I think having had the COVID thing and people coming back, one of us said, you know, it's just so wonderful to be back. And that's the helpers, not just the diners. We also have people who come and sit alongside. So they're not people in need. They're not older people necessarily. They're not struggling financially or anything like that. But they come and sit alongside on different tables to chat, so that they get to know people, and they get to know people by name. And then if someone's not there, then there's a concern. And they, you know, oh, what has anyone seen so-and-so? And they can see what's going on. We've been going since 2013. And over that time, we have lost about a dozen of our diners, which is always terribly sad, because we do get to know them very well. And they become friends. Other people involved as well are drivers. We have the minibus to bring people who can't get there under their own steam. And so there's another half dozen, it is mainly men, but that's only because it is and doesn't have to be, who drive and pick up the people around Buckingham and bring them in. We don't start eating till the minibus has arrived, so it's all a case of, has the minibus arrived yet? No, right, okay, we've got a bit longer. How did it all start? Well, a long time ago, some of you will remember Hill End youth camps, and I got dragged into helping in the kitchen. We used to feed 120 young people then, and it was really interesting to see how to do it. And I think because I had no background in catering at all, having been at Hill End, learnt how to cater for a large number and then become in charge of it, sort of got me into the idea, well, actually cooking for 70, 80, 90, 100 is not actually rocket science. It's just good planning and a little extra time. And then we started the Well Street lunches on Sundays, which haven't yet resumed, but you never know. Once Margaret's no longer the mayor, it might happen again, we'll see. So the community lunch then, and then that sort of expanded into holiday club and catering for that. Things progress, develop, evolve, which I think is the way it's meant to be and the way it has been meant to be. We started off, and talking of evolving, it started off just as a soup with some bread and then a cup of coffee or tea and a piece of cake. It then developed into, well, let's do a main course, let's do a pudding. I have to say, at one point, they were getting soup, main course, pudding, and cake and coffee. We decided after a few months of that, having introduced the dessert, that the cake we would just reserve for once a month. We'd have a cake day, so that's the first Tuesday of the month, and we get lovely homemade cakes in. So that's evolved. And something else which has happened, which again I think is blessing the community enormously, is that this company called Neighbourly, which coordinates the surplus food from the supermarkets. We're the community lunch is involved with Aldi and Lidl and Sainsbury's. And on a Monday, we go and get their surplus food that's been labelled, you know, reduced, still hasn't gone. It's all put in a box in the fridges there, and we collect it. So you never know what it's going to be. But it's a bit like the goodie bag in Ready, Steady, Cook. Oh, we've got this, we've got that. Let's do this today. But anything we can't use goes on a table outside, out in the hall, in the parish church on tables, for the diners to help themselves to, and the helpers to help themselves to. So they're being blessed in that way. They're getting the surplus food. And when we've got still too much, it goes to the Jedediah pantry. And now it's evolved even further, that now Lidl is offering us their frozen surplus, which I went to see for the first time on Thursday, and they had just so many ice creams and things which we're going to be able to bless the Wednesday afternoon meals with. And so it's sort of, you know, evolving and moving on. So in your word bless, I thought, excuse me, you could add a D on the end. I know it needs an ED, but if we could have blessed, which could be for the people who drive, and I'm thinking particularly of the hospital car drivers, you know, so I'm sorry, I didn't, just added that one in at the bottom. It's been an enormous blessing to me, as well as to everybody else, and I think that's how it works. Whether you're blessed first, and then you bless others, or you bless others, and then you get blessed, you know, it doesn't really matter. But I think that's all. So there we are.
Well, thank you very much, Sheila, as well. Our session this afternoon is Serve to Bless, which I think will cover the drivers without adding an extra D in. Although, actually, I'm thinking in the light of what we've just heard about all this eating that the afternoon session will be relabeled Slim to Bless. Because we might need it after this weekend, to be honest, might we, on what we've eaten so far. It'd be good, I think, to have an opportunity to talk to those around us. And some of these things will come out in what you have heard Sheila and Katie sharing. And indeed did just a moment ago, and what you finished off with, Sheila. But talk to people around you for a few minutes on how does hospitality bless those who receive it, and how does it bless those who give it, which I think we were hearing through what you were both sharing. It'd be good maybe to write those up here. Once again, I'll turn the pages over and take a few minutes to do that. Thanks, Peter. Well, lots of conversation. Let's have a look at some of the ideas. Sorry, I'm going to have to wander away from the microphone, but you can hear me. So We've talked about the question was, how does hospitality bless those who receive it? How does it bless those who give it? And it works both ways, doesn't it? We've talked about meeting needs here. Yep, absolutely. Working as a team, that came across loud and clear, didn't it, from the different meals we were talking about. Fellowship, enabling people to use a gift, certainly. And a safe space, and Rosie, you added especially Renew Cafe. Thank you for that plug. There are lots of different ways of hospitality, aren't there, that we can bring. Yeah, Mike. Yep. Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, it does. And I mean, I think really whenever you sit across a table, perhaps we're finding this through breakfast and the evening meal last night and lunch later on and other meals to come, that it does, you get to know people more, don't you? And it does break down barriers. So I think you find that too, those of us who have been involved in Alpha. I mean, I think a lot of the success of Alpha is about eating together rather than the content of the course, to be honest. It's the eating together that prepares people to learn of other things. So, yeah, what have we got this side? Meeting other people, receiving kindness. Absolutely. Let me stand this side. Oh, I'm behind the post then, aren't I? learning new skills. And especially for people who've been left alone. So, brackets widowed, it says there. Is that those who've been left alone learning the new skills? Was that the sense there? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Idea. Tea and cake at Well Street Building for those who find Sunday difficult. Yeah. Tea and cake any time at the Well Street Building, to be honest. And I mean, We have been talking a little bit, both as a church and as churches together in Buckingham, about, well, what about the warm spaces or the warm welcome scheme at this time when people... We're coming up to the time of year when we will almost feel we have to put our heating on because it gets so cold in our houses. I mean, do you play games like we do in our house? Try and wait to the end of October before we put the heating on. But actually, when? No, end of November, is that? Well, you pointed at Karen. That's why you wear that duvet coat, isn't it, that I saw you have earlier on, yeah. Actually, I have one of those too, to be fair. But maybe that will be a way of using our Well Street Building and hospitality to people actually, are really struggling with the bills. Can we, by heating our building and providing hospitality, help to meet a need? So inviting people to help them access hospitality, yep. Receiving takeaway meal, was this where?
Yeah, we do that in Thornborough.
Yes.
When people are unable to come.
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Do the community lunch as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good point. So making you feel part of something that you've missed. That's brilliant. So thank you. Thank you very much. We already can with the Warm Spaces scheme because part of it is encouraging community groups and churches to register things that we already have on a, I think it's a national website. And now, obviously, if there's a national website and people need a warm space to come to, they need to know that this website is there, don't they? So I suppose part of it will be publicising that. But there are also plans afoot So we could register things like Renew Cafe on there. We could register the time, Cameo, for example, where we're doing monthly lunch for Well Street. There may be other things you will think of that we could register there that would be warm spaces at those times. We can think, toddler, first steps as well. I mean, that is going to be heated. It wasn't last Tuesday, I noticed when I popped down, but probably didn't quite need to be. But if we were heating it on Tuesday morning, why not, having heated the building, carry on doing it for the afternoon, perhaps? Assuming that we have volunteers who are willing to staff it. I mean, I think it's fair to say that we just don't know yet how much of a need there will be for that, because will people stay in their own homes? What about people working from home when it's getting cold? Will they want to be somewhere else? Is that the library is going to be part of the Warm Spaces scheme with internet access and working space, but maybe not quite the same atmosphere of hospitality that churches might be able to bring. There is, through Churches Together, there is a focal point, an individual to whom we're asked to sort of provide details of what we, the churches, are already doing, so that that can be communicated and publicised in the community. So, yes, what we're doing already is going to be publicised. What we might do is yet to be decided, and it might be that, you know, you try something and people either come or they don't. You know, they either use it or they don't. If they don't use it, then you conclude there's not a need, but sometimes you have to give the opportunity, don't you? And just open and see what happens.
Yeah. If it's going to be a harsh winter,
we just... Yeah, that will absolutely make a difference, won't it? Yeah, absolutely will make a difference. Mm. So we've moved on, which is brilliant, to what I was going to ask, which is how can we, as individuals and church, eat to bless, but provide hospitality to bless. And we're already talking about that through what we're saying now. Are there other things, you know, that we can hear that, you know, you may have thought about, but no one else has, as far as you know? Yeah, it's possible. I mean, I think we need to do what we can rather than overcommit and struggle for volunteers. But so it's probably, you know, making a start somewhere and then seeing. But I mean, I've found it's not quite the same. It probably come into the serve category this afternoon that we've just started, done 2 months worth of services now at Lace Hill Manor Care Home. We ask for volunteers for that. And we have a good number of volunteers, so that we've been able to take 6 or 7 of us in each of the 2 services we've done. So, you know, people have been willing to do that. And if people are willing to do that again, then clearly when our church building isn't in use, it's at the moment, it's a resource that we have that we could use. Yeah, Karen. Absolutely. Yeah.
Just an activity, but not to
Yeah, and I'm walking. I mean, I'm aware that there has been someone in the town community. I think it's Tony Allen, who's done a sort of mental health walk for men. It's not just about men, is it? It's about all of us, really. But sure. I mean, that could be part of what we do. I mean, I'm always up for walking, but if I'm available.
A town circular walk followed by tea and cake, and it's just what you like to.
Yeah. Right round the outside of the town. Yeah, really. It's not, yeah, you can, I've done it. It's not that far. might be a couple of hours worth. Yeah. Yeah, it could be. Mm. So sometimes you just got to try those things. Well, a town circular walk. I mean, that's a way of keeping people warm, isn't it, in the winter? But not quite the Warm Spaces thing, but the keeping ourselves warm and occupied. And I mean, we inevitably, I think, you know, providing hospitality is part of what we'll be thinking about in our afternoon session, which is serving to bless. It's part of that, isn't it? An extension beyond eating, really, and other things that we might do. So there's lots of good ideas there. I mean, as we focus in on eating, let's just come back to Jesus for a moment, because it's good to do that, isn't it? And I did a quick survey of all of the times that Jesus is involved in eating. And you will not need me to tell you this, really, but Jesus, we constantly see Jesus eating meals with people. And they're just the ones that report it. I mean, eating is something universal, isn't it? It's something that we all have to do. We all need to take sustenance into us. It's a regular part of our day. But Jesus in particular is described as sitting down with others. In Luke, for example, in chapter 4, 38-39, we see Jesus at the home of Simon, whose mother-in-law he heals. I'm not quite sure how I feel about this. It's all like a means to an end. He heals and she gets up and feeds them, doesn't she? but it shows, doesn't it, that his healing is complete. And I'm sure it's not just about healing her so she can wait on them. Then in the next chapter, in chapter 5, we find Jesus saying to Levi, known as Matthew in Matthew's Gospel, follow me. And he does. And the next thing you know, Levi is throwing a party, inviting his friends to meet with Jesus as guest of honour. And Jesus is glad to go. One of the things I think that comes across a lot with Jesus is that he loves eating with tax collectors and sinners, doesn't he? I mean, Zacchaeus that we're dwelling on, and others who are collectively described as sinners. I mean, we're all in that category, to be honest, aren't we? But I think in the Gospels in particular, it's those that the kind of self-righteous saw as sinners, and it wasn't particularly themselves, was it? It was them others. A couple of chapters later, Jesus is accused, goes along with that, of being a glutton and a drunkard. Such is his like for parties.
Who accuses him?
Of the religious authorities. Then, in the same space, actually, in chapter 7, part of the same story, he's at the home of Simon the Pharisee, having a meal, where a woman washes his feet with tears and perfumes them. And Jenny, you did the parable of the debtors, didn't you, from that a few weeks ago? But Jesus is having this meal. Chapter 9, Jesus famously has a meal with 5,000 men plus women and children, doesn't he? It's part of what he does when miraculously he brings feeding to them. He goes to the home of Mary and Martha, and it seems like this is something he does often and has hospitality. You'll remember that perhaps as the instance in Luke 10 where Mary sits at his feet hanging on his every word and Martha's a bit annoyed in the kitchen. I always feel Martha has a bit of a harsh deal, really, because that was important too, wasn't it? But we need to, you know the moment, I suppose, when to sit at Jesus' feet and when to serve for Jesus. There's another meal in chapter 14. This is a quick run through. At the house of another Pharisee, where Jesus watches guests at the meal choose places of honour and tells the parable of the great banquet, which we'll look at on Sunday in a few weeks' time. Chapter 15, verse 2, they say of Jesus, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them, disparagingly. Then we get to chapter 19 and Zacchaeus. Then we get to chapter 22 and the Last Supper. Again, it's a meal, isn't it? It's important to Jesus and his disciples and the time when he invests the Passover meal with a new significance. And even after his death and resurrection, we find Jesus in Luke on the road to Emmaus, meeting with two followers who don't recognize him until he goes in to eat with them and breaks bread and blesses it, at which point they recognize him, and rather frustratingly for them, perhaps he disappears from their view. But then shortly after, they go and report to the other disciples, and Jesus joins them again and eats some fish with them. So eating for Jesus is, well, it's essential, as it is for all of us, but it's also a way of blessing by feeding others. But I think also, and maybe we need to sort of think about this, sometimes to sit and be fed by others is a blessing. for those of us who feel, oh, you know, I couldn't accept that invitation because I'm no longer able to give hospitality like I used to do. But actually, I feel that often to be able to, you know, be someone who receives hospitality is to bless those who give it, isn't it? Who want to give it. So these are things for us to think about. And let's dwell on the thoughts we have here, the ideas that you have shared, and let's think, we can't do everything, but I'm sure we can do more than we do now as a church. On that note, it's coming up to time for lunch. You might want to go for your rooms. I will do what ideally we do before meals, but it's a bit more difficult, isn't it, in a collective kind of dining area when we're arriving at different times. Let me give thanks. So, Father God, we thank you for all of the people who have blessed us through our lives, and even those who have blessed us so far this weekend. We thank you for the staff in this place who have already given us such a warm welcome and are providing wonderful food for us. And thank you just for the blessing of being here. And we ask, Lord, that as we go for lunch, that you will bless the food that we are about to eat and continue to bless, we pray, our conversations. May we, even now, be blessed and be a blessing to one another. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So. So don't forget other options.